We're here on Daf Mem Ches Amid Beis, right smack in the middle of the Daf, parallel to Ushmuel, the Tosus Ushmuel Omar, V'im Hichnas Pershus. The Gemara is now analyzing the end of the Mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis on top. The Mishnah says that Im Hichnas Pershus, if the Machnas brings his shor into his friend's courtyard, Birshus, he had permission to do so, then in such a case, if the shor was, the shor of the Machnas was damaged by the shor of the Balachotzer or his Kelev, then Balachotzer Chayef. It means when a person allows, permits someone to enter into his field with a shor, enter into his courtyard with a shor, then we assume in Astam, unless we know otherwise, that he accepts upon himself, the owner of the Chatzer, to be Shomer, to watch and make sure that no damage will befall the Shor of the Machzik, of the Machnis. And that's called Hachnes Vanieshmar. And therefore, if he didn't watch properly and the Shor was damaged, the Bala Chatzer has to pay. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. Rebbe disagrees, and Rebbe says that a stoma is not a Kabbalah Shmira. Of course, he gave him permission to enter, but he didn't accept upon him, the Baal HaChatzer did not accept upon himself any achrayus for Shmira to make sure that the shor of the Machnas would not be damaged. Itmar. Rav Amar Hilchasa Ketanakamu, Shmuel Amar Hilchasa Kerebi. According to Rav, we paskin like the Chacham, like the Tanakama, that Mistoma, the Balachotzer, when he gave permission to so-and-so to enter into his courtyard with a shor, he accepts upon himself Shmira to guard, make sure that the shor is protected. Shmuel says, no, we paskin like Rebbe, and Rebbe holds that Mistoma, there's no Kabbalah Shmira, and therefore the Balachotz is not chayev if the shor of the Machnas was damaged. Tosus Dibur Maskil Shmuel points out there's a little bit of a stira here because Rava Liel, that's on Amud Aleph here, said a ruling that seems to imply that he paskins like the Chachamim, which reflects what Rav says over here, because Rava says, Hichnis shor lechotzer bala bayis shelo b'rishus v'chofer bo boris sichet boris bala shor chayov b'nizkei chotzer mashma b'rishus potur. It would seem that there is such an assumption that if you let someone in, you accept shmira. On the other hand, here Shmuel paskins like the Rebbe, and in a machlok shin Rav and Shmuel and Dini Mominis, we always pass in like Shmuel. So that ends up to be a stira. Tana Rabbanan, we have a brisa with regard to this din. And again, we're talking about a case where the owner of the courtyard says to the Machnis, Knos Sharcha Ushmaro, you can enter into my courtyard with your Sharbat, you have to watch it. And therefore, Hizik Chayov, if the Machzik with his shor damages the Baal HaChotzer, he's Chayov. He has to pay Dmei HaNezek. And if on the other hand, Huzak, if the shor of the Machnas was attacked and damaged by the shor of the Baal HaChotzer, part of the Baal HaChotzer doesn't have to pay damages because the Baal HaChotzer went out of his way to say, Ushmaro, that I am not taking upon myself, says the Baal HaChotzer, any achrayus, any chiv shmira, it's all on your shoulders. And this fits very well with the shita of the Chachamim, that in general, we assume, unless we know otherwise, that the Baal HaChotzer accepts upon himself achrayus shmira. And that, my friends, is the resha of this brisa. But now we look at the sefer of the brisa. The brisa says that if the Baal HaChotzer turns to the Machnas and he says, Knos Shorcha Va'ani Eshmerenu, again, he had to go out of his way explicitly, Lehedra, to accept upon himself Shmira, then who's a chayov, he's a potter. Then if the shor of the machnis was damaged, the Baal Chotzer's shor attacked him, the Baal Chotzer has to pay to Mea Nezik because he said to him, Vani Eshmerena. If, on the other hand, the shor of the machnis attacked the shor of the Baal Bayis, the Baal HaShor does not have to pay damages to the Baal HaChotzer because the Baal HaChotzer explicitly took upon himself the Chiv Shmira, and that reflects the Shita of Rebbe, that unless the Baal HaChotzer goes a step further, not only does he say enter, but he also says Ani Yishmerenu, he explicitly takes upon himself Shmira, there's no responsibility on the Baal HaChotzer. Which means that if the Baal HaChotzer damages the Shor of the Machnas, he's Potter. And if, on the other hand, the Shor of the Nichnas damages the Baal HaBayis, the Shor of the Baal HaBayis, Baal HaChotzer, then he has to pay damages. So the Gemara says, Gufa Gufa Kasha. There's an inherent internal stira in this brisa. Amrit, when you look at the Reisha, and it says, Knos Shorcha Ushmoro. Then it's Hizik Chayav Huzak Potter. Taima Diyomale Shmoro. The reason why the chiyuvim now, both defensive and offensive, are incumbent upon the machnas is because the Baal HaChotzer explicitly set up this condition that although you're allowed to enter into my property, I'm not taking upon myself any responsibility. All of this is shifted onto your shoulders, and that's why. Dechayev Baal HaShor upotu Baal HaChotzer. That's why the Baal HaShor would be chayev if he damaged. And if he got damaged, the Baal HaChotzer's potu hastoma, clearly implying that if the Baal HaChotzer did not explicitly shift the responsibility onto the shoulders of the machnas by saying, you know what, buddy, shmoro, the shmir is on you. If it had been a stoma situation, then chayav Baal HaChotzer upotur Baal HaChotzer. It means that there's a tacit acceptance of achrayus on the part of the Baal HaChotzer once he says, enter into my chotzer, the bestoma makabal le'nitirusa, and that reflects the sheet of the chachamim. Amos Sefer, but on the other hand, the Sefer says that knos shorcha v'aniyash berenu, only in a situation where the Baal HaChotzer went out of his way to explicitly accept upon himself a Chiv Shmira, then Huzak Chayav Hizik Pot, then if the Machnis suffers damages on his Shor is damaged, or if the Baal, and then the Baal HaChotzer is Chayav, or in the flip side, if the Baal HaShor HaMachnis attacks and damages the Baal HaChotzer, then he's Chayav. I'm sorry. Then, again, here's the case where he says, Ani Eshmerenu, so then he's Potur. Is Taima Di Omer Le V'Ani Eshmerenu? Only because he explicitly accepted upon himself Shmira. Who the Machayav Baal HaChotzer? That's when the Baal HaChotzer is Chayav if he damaged the Machnis. Or Potur Baal HaShor, the machnas is potter for damages. Hastoma, if the Baal HaChotzer said nothing, he just allowed him to come in and that was it, is then there's no kabbal shmira, is chayav Baal HaShor upotter Baal HaChotzer. In such a case, the Baal HaShor, the machnas would be chayav, and the Baal HaChotzer would be potter the mistoma. Lo mekabal le'netirusa, is ason le'rebi, diomrachi kabbal le'netirusa, Baal HaBayis Lishma, until the Baal HaBayis explicitly accepted upon himself Shmira Reisha Rabbanon V'Seifa Rebbe. Now we're turning to Daf. I mean, we're looking now at the bottom part of Daf Memches Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Lazar Tavra Misha Shana Zu Lo Shana Zu. Rabbi Elazar says there's no way out over here. We're going to have to assume that these two dinim that were formulated by the Braisa in fact contradict each other. And the Tana of the Reisha reflects the Shita of the Chacham and the Tana of the Sefer of Rebbe. Rav Amar, no. Kula Rabbanan hi. So that's very good. With regard to the Reisha. We understand that the Reisha reflects the Shita of the Rabbanon. And the Baal HaChatzer alleviates himself from a Chiyuv Shmira only when he says explicitly Ushmaro and transfers the Chiyuv Shmira onto the shoulders of the Machnis. Oh, but now he's stuck with the Sefer. The Sefer says that the Baal HaChatzer has to explicitly accept upon himself Shmira, but Mistama, he never meant to accept upon himself Shmira. He's not responsible. And that seems to reflect the Shita Rebbe. No. We have to have an Aydi Ditori Sefer, Aydi Ditori Reisha Tani Sefer. We have to use one of those technical literary tools that apply to a Braisa and say that Aydi Dinosiv Reisha Shmoro, since the Tana in the Reisha spoke about a case where the Baal HaChatzer explicitly passed on the Chiyuv Shmira onto the shoulders of the Machnis, his Tana Sefer. On the flip side, he says, Vaniyesh Merena. When he explicitly accepted, the Baal HaChatzer explicitly accepted upon himself Shmira, but not to reflect the Shita of Rebbe, because that's Lav Dafka. Even had he not said, oh, I accept upon, had the Baal HaChatzer not said the words, the magical words, I accept upon myself a Chiyuv Shmira, nevertheless he would be Chayav. The Baal HaChatzer is chayav because of mistoma like the Chachamim, but the reason why the Braisa and the Sefer formulated it in terms of a case of Aniyesh Merena is only to flip around the Reisha to the Sefer. Rav Papa, now is the third possibility of reconciling and maintaining the integrity of this Braisa. Kula Rebihi. The Braisa reflects both in Reisha, the Sefer, the Shita of Rebbe. Now, again, the Sefer fits in very beautifully. The Sefer implies that there's no Kabbalah Shmira unless he says so explicitly. But what do we do with the Reisha? In the Reisha, it says that he has to say explicitly that he's not Makabal Shmira, and you watch it, he has to say to the Machnis. The answer is, V'sofar lo k'rabi tarfen diomar keren b'chotza nizak nezek sholem mishalem. That in the halach of keren, of a short time, there's a fundamental difference where the hezek took place. That's Rabbi Tarfen Shita b'akadav chav dalet amid beis. If a shor was nogeach anywhere but the chotza nizak, then he pays chatzi nezek. But if the negicha was a result of what took place in the chatzar nizak, the shor was negligent, with the negligence of the baal shor, was allowed to roam into the chatzar nizak and do damages there, that's not where the Torah says that a shor tam is potter with chatzi nezek. No. The shor tam, even though he is a shor tam, pays nezek sholem hilkoch. Therefore, Omar Le Shmoro, if the Baal HaChatzer turns to the Baal HaShor, the Machnis, and he says, Shmor, the Shmir is on you, what he means to say is, Lo Machni Le Mokom BeChatzer, I'm not willing to transfer to you any ownership on this Chatzer. In other words, I'm willing to say to you, look, you're allowed to enter into my Chatzer with your shor, you can have the use of my property, of my courtyard, but nevertheless, I'm not going to be makna you anything in the goof hakarka, the goof hachotzer. You only have rishus knisa, and therefore havile keren bechatzar hanizak. This chotzer belongs to the Baal HaChatzer, and only, exclusively to the Baal HaChatzer. It doesn't belong to the Baal HaShor. And since it doesn't belong to the Baal HaShor, therefore it's Keren B'Chatzar HaNizok U'B'Shalim Nezek Sholem. Let's read a little Vayta, then we'll come back and explain it. We'll sharpen it up. Lo Amar Le Shmaro, if he, the Baal HaChatzer, says you could enter into my chutzer and use my chutzer, bring your shor in there, but he didn't explicitly add the word shmaro. Aknuye aknile makom bechutzer v'havile chutzer shutvim v'keren bechutzer shutvim ena mishalim el chatzin nezek. Rav Papa says something very original here. He says, even Rebbe, in the context of Rabbi Tarfon's Shita, will require that the Baal HaChatzar add the word Shmoro, you, the Machnis, watch it. Why? If Mistoma, he tells the Machnis to enter into the Chatzar with the Shor, and he doesn't add the word Shmoro, then we assume Bistoma that the intention of the Baal HaChatzar is A plus B. It's not limited just to A. You have rishus, you're not a trespasser by entering into my chotzer. But B, aknuye aknile. He's saying to the Baal HaChatzar, you know what? The she'ela here, your rights of use, is not limited just to the airspace, but it applies even to the makom itself, to the ground of the chotzer. And now he's being maknehim an ownership rights, a kind of a schirus or she'ela in the makom achotzer. It's kind of like the sugya in Gittin, what's the name of the perek in Perek HaZorek in Gittin, if a man says to a woman, here's a part of my chutz and I'm going to give you a get, then what he's doing is he's being machna makom in the chutzer. And that would be v'nasan biyado. Yasan biyado means he gives it to a chutzer. Here also, when he says you can use my chutz, he's giving him use rights in the karka chutzer. And in such a case, then the Baal HaChatzar, together with the Machnis, own rights in the Guf HaChatzar, in the Karak HaChatzar. And that's called Chatzar HaShutfim. Now, if the Hezek takes place in the Chatzar HaShutfim, that's the classical case of Keren Rishus HaRabim. Again, technically it's not a Rishus HaRabim, but it's not a Rishus HaNizak. And in such a case, the Baal HaChatzar, once having been makne shutvis rights, kinyonim rights, in the Guf HaChatzar, he forfeits his rights under the law of Rabbi Tarfon to collect Nezek Shalim, because it's no longer a Hezek that took place in the Chatzar Nizak. Chatzar Nizak means that the exclusive ownership on this Chatzar is that of the Nizak. Otherwise, if others have rights to use that Chatzar, but again, more than just rights to use it, but kinyonim in the Guf HaChatzar becomes a Rishus HaRabim, and that's the classical case, which even Rabbi Tarfon agrees, is the Chatzu as Kaspa, where you pay Chatzi Nezek. What Rebbe wanted to be Mechadish here in the Seifa is if the Baal HaChatzar says to the Machnis, Shmoro, what he's conveying to the Machnis is that, you know what? I'll let you use my Chatzar, but you don't own any rights in the Guf HaChatzar. The Chatzar, therefore, is exclusively mine, says the Baal HaChatzar. If it's exclusively mine, then if the Shor attacks, the Shor of the Machnis attacks the Shor of the Baal HaChatzar, then that is a case of Keren B'Chatzar HaNizak. Because, again, as we said before, the Chatzar is exclusively that of or owned by the Nizak. And in that case, Rabbi Tarfon holds that you pay Nezek Sholem. So let's go back and read the Braisa the way Rav Papa would read the Braisa. The Braisa says the following. Knos. If the Baal HaChatzar says, Knos Shorcha. Okay? If he says Ushmaro, he adds that word Ushmaro. What he means to say is that you have right, you the Machnis have rights to use the Chatzar, but you don't have Kinyonim rights, and therefore Chayov, he's a Chayov. It means that the Baal HaChatzar, if he was damaged by this Shor, now has rights to collect Nezek Sholem, based on the law of Rabbi Tarfon, Keren, Bechatzara, Nizik, Nezik, Sholem, Mishalem. But if, and this is the Sefer now, Knos, Shorcha, Vaniyash, Morena, what he means is that now I'm giving you rights to use my chatzer, and therefore the machnis gains kinyonim rights in the guf ha-chatzer. It becomes now a chatzer shutvim. And then what the Braisa means when it says v'im hizik potur, what he means to say is the Baal Shar has to pay a maximum of chatzi nezer. Now we're ready for the Mishnah here. On the bottom of Daf Mem Ches Omid Beis. And for this we have to learn the Parash of Dmei Vlados. And we're talking about a person who was in a fight with someone. And he took a punch, and he swung his arm, and he tried to hit his adversary, but inadvertently he hit a pregnant woman, and as a result of hitting her on the body in such a place that would cause her to lose the fetus, that's what's exactly happened. Then there's a chiyuv to pay damages, which is called dmei vlados. And that's written in the pasuk, "Yishpos chafal v'chi yinotzu anoshim v'nogfu yishahar v'yotzi yiladeh v'lo ye'ason anosh ye'anosh kasher yoshis olav baal ha'isha v'nosan b'plilim." It's quite clear from the scenario described in the Torah that the makeh had no kavana to hit the pregnant woman, but nevertheless, the Torah was mezakeh the Baal Ha'isha, that's what the Pasuk says, to receive Dmei Vlados. Now exactly how to evaluate Dmei Vlados, we'll see in Yirtzeh Hashem later, but the Mishnah says, what happens in a parallel case of a shor that hit a pregnant woman and she lost the fetus? Shor, shor miskavin l'chavero, meaning the shor wanted to attack another shor. Again, there's a whole discussion here about the word chavero here with regard to a shor, but that's not for us. Vehika es ha'isha, and inadvertently the shor gave a smack to the womb, or the area near the womb of this pregnant woman. V'yotzi l'den, as a result she lost the fetus. Is, do we impose Dmei Vlados on the Baal Hashor Potmi Dmei Vlados? Now, the impression you get, but we'll see soon it's a misimpression, is that the reason why there's no Chiv Dmei Vlados here is because the Shor did not have an intention to hit the pregnant woman. That's not true. There is no such thing as Dmei Vlados, at least according to the Sugi that we'll learn, in a case of a Shor. And in contrast, the Sefer Adam Shayim is Kavin Lechaver Vehikosa Isha Yotzilva Yiladeh Mishalim Dmei Vlados. That is the exact scenario in the Torah that we discussed a minute ago. That if inadvertently the Makkah hit the pregnant woman, she loses her fetus, then he, the Makkah, has to pay Dmei Vlados. Ketzad Mishalim Dmei Vlados. How do you evaluate the Dmei Vlados? Again, in the case where a human being was responsible for the hapola, for the loss of the fetus. Shomen es ha'isha kamehi yofa ad shelo yolda v'kamehi yofa misha yolda. According to the Tanakama, we do this assessment with the isha self. As a pregnant woman, how much was she worth? And that's called Domeha Merubim, because after all, a Vlad will be born. And additionally, this is just the insights of some of the Achronim, that as a pregnant woman, she has a little bit more strength. Somehow the Ubar strengthens her Evarim. And that raises her price, or alternatively, the very fact that people see she's pregnant means she's a woman who's capable of procreation. Not every woman is. And Again, we're talking about how much she would be worth on the market to be sold as an oma, as a shivcha. But now that she's lost her vlad, then there's a depreciation in her value on the market. And that amount, that sum of depreciation is what we call dmei vlados. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. And again, the fundamental point here is that the Shuma, the estimation of the Dmei Vlados, is not the Vlados themselves, the Vlad, the fetus itself, which could be sold as a future Shivcha, but rather Agav, the Isha. Agav, the Hezek that was done to the Isha. She lost the Vlados. So the Dmei Vlados really reflects the depreciation of the value of the Isha, because the Isha was the victim of this Nezek. And we don't view the Vlados as if they were born, you know, as if they were an entity unto itself. They're just simply, in a sense, a part of the Isha. That's the Tanakhama. Om Rav Shimon Gamliel. And here we turn to Daf Memtes Amud Aleph. In Cain, according to you, the Chachamim, that you're going to evaluate how much of a depreciation there was to the Isha, Misha ha Isha Yoledes Mashbachas, a woman, after she gives birth, is worth more than she was worth pregnant. And the reason for that is that a pregnant woman has, again, this is difficult in our contemporary society, but back in the day, and even our parents and grandparents could testify this was the case, that a woman who's pregnant, there's a certain element of danger to her life. And therefore, if a person were paying on the market for a shivcha, he would rather pay for a woman who's not pregnant. He doesn't want to lose this woman. And therefore, according to Rabban Gamliel, the exact opposite is true. Meaning, if you want to evaluate the woman herself, then instead of depreciation in value, and that's going to be dmei vlados that the mak has to pay, Rav Shimon Gamliel says the exact opposite. There's going to be an appreciation of her value. And therefore, if you want to come to a conclusion that there's some payment of dmei vlados, there's no other alternative by process of elimination, ela shomenes havlados kamehen yofin. We view the vlados as a separate entity. The fetus is seen as an entity. And therefore, what would a person be willing to pay for a shivcha when with the shivcha he's able to buy the ubar, the fetus, while the fetus is still in its mother's womb? Again, we're going to have to get back to this in the sugi itself, but that's just simple pshat in the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah adds that a point that's agreed upon both the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel, unosein lebal, the payment of the dvei vlados go to the Baal, because the Torah says, Onosh Yonosh Kasha Yoshis Olav Baal Isha Venosan Biplimlim, which means that it's not the Isha who gets paid the dvei vlados, even though again the Hako was on her body, but the Torah gave a special schus to the Baal Isha. And therefore, V'im Ein La Baal, if her husband died, Nosein Liyarshav, it's not her heirs that will inherit the Dmei Vlados, but rather his heirs. Now, Hoysa Shivcha V'Nishtachra O'Giores, here we have a case of a woman who has no Yarshim. That's the case of a Shivcha V'Nishtachra or a Gioris. Now again, it's a little bit more complicated here because really, since the Dmei Vlados go to him, we should be emphasizing the fact that he has no Yorshim. And that's what we're going to have to interpret in the Mishnah, that the Baal is a ger. Again, it's a funny way the Mishnah conveys this. Very odd. But in any event, in this case, the Mishnah says potter, meaning the makeh doesn't have to pay the mevlados, because the mevlados belong to the Baal and not to the Isha. And in this case, there are no yarshim of the Baal. And we have halacha that there's no yarshim, then kol hakodem zachu, whoever has a chazak on these nechasim first, in this case the mazik has the chazak on the actual payment, the money that's in his bank account, of the dmei vlados. Let's begin the Gemara now. The Gemara is now focused on the case where the shar wanted to hit another shar and inadvertently knocked out the Dmei Vlados by hitting the pregnant woman. Taima is the reason why there's no chiyuv of Dmei Vlados on the part of the Baal Shar. Dimiskaving lechavero? Are you telling me, therefore, by implication, ha miskaving leisha, if the shar was attacking a woman deliberately, mishalim Dmei Vlados, the owner of the shar, has to pay Dmei Vlados? Lema tevi tuvta. The Rav Ada Bar Rava, is this Mishnah an upshlug of Rav Ada, the Omer Rav Ada Bar Rava, and this we add on Daf Mem Beis, Shvarim Sheniskavnu Leisha Pturim Midmei Vlodos. There is no Chiyuv of Dmei Vlodos in the case of a Shor. The Parsha that was Mechadish Dmei Vlodos is a Parsha of Adam, of a man who kills the fetus. Amalecha Rav Ada Bar Rava. How is Rav Ada Bar Rava going to reinterpret this Mishnah? Again, we'll have to use a kind of an ID, you know, that literary style of a parallel or a mirror image between a Reish and a Sefer. In truth, Hu Adin Dafil Niskav Nulish and Ami Pturim Midvei Vladis, there is no Chiv Dvei Vladis in the case of Ashar. Ve'hadik Tani Bishar. It says in the case of Ashar, Yemiskavin Lechavero, that he didn't have kavana to gore the woman, the pregnant woman. I need the kaboy lemisne seifa. The Mishnah had to tell me the seifa by interpreting the scenario in the Torah of Adam, where a man killed the fetus. Why? Shoy Yemiskavin Lechavero, he inadvertently hit the woman and knocked out the fetus. And he's chai of what? The makis chayv dmei vlados the hachik sivka, and that's the way we understand the pasuk. The parish of dmei vlados is ketani reisha nami. In order that the reisha should be a flip side, a mirror image, shor shayim is kaving lechavero. But really, it's lav dafka shor shayim is kaving lechavero. In general, a shor is potter from dmei vlados, even if he had kavana intentionally to hit this woman who's pregnant. There is no chiv of dmei vlados. Amar Rav Papa. The Mishnah tells us that if a shar hits a woman, there is no chiv dmei vlados. However, says Rav Papa, shar shenogach es hashivcha. Here there's a bailus over the woman. In other words, if a shar attacks a woman and kills the vlados, there is no dmei vlados. But if a shar attacks a female body that's owned by someone, as a, if you pardon the expression, a cheftza shel mamon, I don't have a better way of saying it. That's the case of a shivcha. And therefore the shivcha is owned by the Baal, by the Adon. And not only does the Adon own the shivcha, but he owns the shivcha together with her vlados, v'yotzi yiladeh, mishalem d'mei vlados. This is a whole different parasha. This is a parasha of hezek, of nezek. And the Adon, who owns the shivcha, has rights to collect damages on the destruction, the loss of the fetus. My taima, chamarta mi'abarta bi'almu di'asik. If a man owns a shor, and that shor attacks a pregnant animal, in this case a donkey, and as a result, the fetus in the body of this mother donkey is lost, for sure the Baal HaShar has to pay for the mumen of the dmei ubar. The ubar is worth something. Right, this Uber will become a big donkey one day. And the Omer Kra, the Pasuk says, in the case of Avraham Avinu, who went for the Akedah of Yitzchak, and he tells Yishmael and Eliezer, his Eved Eliezer, Shvu Lachem Po Machamor, and this is a pretty famous drasha, which is Nogea, to Nashim, to to a different part of Shulchan Aruch, not Choshev Mishpat, but Evan Ezer, is Am Adom El Chamar, meaning the child of an Eved Knani is not miyuchas to the Eved. In other words, there's no yichus to the father of an Eved. That's called Am Adom El Chamar. But what the Gemara wants to convey here, it's a kind of a mashal, in the Nivshal, the shor that was mazik, the vlados of a shivcha, he has to pay the adon, the bailim, the dmei havlados. When the Torah excluded a shor from tam shlume dmei vlados, that's in a case of a woman, a bas chorin, a Yisraelis, or a shivcha mishuchreres for that matter. But in the case of a shivcha, says Rav Papa, he has to pay dmei vlados to the adon. Now the Gemara is going to analyze the machlokes between the Chachamim Rav Shimon Gamliel. First we'll start with the Chachamim Ketzed Meshalim Dmei Vlados. How do we shots up the value of Dmei Vlados? And the answer we saw in the Chacham is that we evaluate the woman as she was worth on the market before this mishap when she had Vlados in her womb. How much is she worth? How much has she depreciated as a result of losing these vlados? And the Gemara now explains that according to the Tanakama, why is it that the Shuma, this evaluation of the Isha, and how much she went down, is Dmei Vlados, meaning how much she devaluated as a result of a loss of the vlados? Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Shevach vlados mi boile. In the context of this shuma, to evaluate dmei vlados, there should be a language here of shevach vlados, meaning that we shouldn't be talking about the devaluation. The shuma should include also the amount of money that she was appreciated when she was pregnant. In other words, the state of meuberes, the ibur state of being a pregnant woman, engenders or creates a shvach of the woman. Gemara's ha'ara here, the Gemara's question here, is focused on the language. Let's go back to the Mishnah and read the words in the Mishnah. Ketzad mishalem Dmei Vlados, meaning how do we evaluate the Dmei Vlados? As if to say, how much is the Vlad worth? And of course, that is going to be the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. But even in the question, before we get to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Gemara should have spoken about not just the Dmei Vlados, but the Shevach Vlados. The fact that she's pregnant enhances her value. And what does that mean? That means that she is more, shall we say, stronger, perhaps as a result of the vlados. And this is not reflective of Shimon Gamliel, who thinks he's of the opinion that when she's not pregnant, when her womb is empty, she's worth more. But according to Chacham, she's worth more with the vlados. And the reason for this is because the fact that she looks pregnant, that itself appears to give her a stronger presentation, as if she's fatter, let's say. And therefore the buyer of such a shivcha would pay even more, so there should have been some indication of shvach, of shevach vlados. So let's just read it. Hachinami ka'amar. The Gemara says, you know what? That's exactly what the Tana had in mind. When the Tana said, Ketze Meshalem Dmei Vlados, what he really had in mind is Dmei Vlados V'Shevach Vlados. Let's push that into the language. In other words, above and beyond the fact that you're buying a woman as a Shivcha who will have Vlados, who will eventually be Shvachos, in addition, you're buying a woman whose value is enhanced by the Vlad itself, by the fact that she's filled out. woman who has an empty stomach, an empty womb, is considered less valuable, according to the Chachamim, than a woman with a full, again, on the market for on the Shivcha market, than a woman who's filled out. She has a bursting belly. That's the assumption here, the sugya according to the Tanakhama. And therefore, what the Tanakhama is saying here is, Shomen es ha'isha kami yofa ad shlo yolda, v'kami yofa mishi yolda. And in that depreciation, we're going to take into account not only the value, the enhanced value of the woman because she has vlados, but also the shevach vlados. There's an enhancement of her value when she was pregnant because of the fact that she looks shmeina, she looks healthy, she looks fat, she's got a varim that somehow give her more strength. And those damim are called shevach ha'isha machmas havlados. And as a result of the loss of the vlados on the part of the maka, the human maka, she loses that element as well. So the total loss that we're evaluating as she depreciates by losing the fetus is A plus B. It's a combination of two different elements. There is number one, the vlados that can be sold on the market as a shivcha. Number two, there is the shevach vlados, which means the additional value of the isha because of her physical appearance and body as a pregnant woman. I have here in the note that shevach vlados lebaila kevin shehu bimkom maisi adeha. Why does the Baal have rights to collect the shevach vlados? The answer is because it's like a case of a woman who brings in assets. You know, she's employed and she gets paid salaries. That money, by virtue of the ksuba, accrues to the Baal. And the fact that the Baal could collect the value of the vlados, that itself is that's the parsha. That's what the Torah says the Baal has rights to claim. In other words, ostensibly, you might ask the question, what rights does the Baal have to the vlados? You know, this is it's not that he owns the Gufa Isha, but the answer is that's the Gzeres HaKosev here. But what we're adding to that is an element which we might classify as Maisi Adel, according to the Sfar of the Tanakhama, and that's called Shvach Vlados. Om Rav Shim Ben Gamliel im Kain Misha Ha'isha Yoledes Mishabachas. This whole thing is fluked up, says Rav Shim Gamliel, because after Leda, her value on the market as a Shivcha goes up, not down. Maika Omar. What did Rav Shim Gamliel mean when he used the language to ask Akasha and Tanakhama after the Isha becomes empty of her vlado? She loses her vlado, she goes up in value. The Tanakhama says the exact opposite. She was worth a lot more when she was fully fat and pregnant. Omarabba Hachi Ka'omar. This is what Rav Gamliel meant to ask or attack the Tanakhama. V'chi isha mishabachas kodim sheteled yoser miliachar sheteled alo isha mishabachas liachar sheteled yoser mi kodim sheteled. When she was Muberes, she brought a lower price on the Shivcha market because, again, there was a danger that she might die during pregnancy. Rav Shim Gamliel, on the other hand, says that really, if you're going to do the Shuma on the woman, then the Mazik shouldn't pay a dime because, Adaraba, her value on the market goes up, appreciates as a result of the loss of the fetus. And the reason for that is she no longer has this sakana element of birth, of dying from the suffering of birth. Ella, shamanis avlados, we have no choice, but we have to assume that the mazik is going to pay dmei vlados, meaning the value of the vlados themselves. If a person were buying a pregnant shivcha, he would pay that much more because of the vlados. Vinosin labal, and that's what the baal collects in the case of a makeh Amake Isha Vyalda Vinafla Vladoseha Tanya Nami Hachi. That's exactly what we find in a brayser. Rav Shimon Gamliel turns to the Tanakami, says, "V'chi isha mashbachas kodim sheteled Yosef yashetelo lo isha mashbachas liach sheteled Yosef mikodim sheteled." On the contrary, she appreciates in the market, you know, value as a result of losing, of emptying out her belly of these babies of the fetus. El shomnes ha vlados unto themselves vinosnim labal. Rava has a different approach, an alternative approach to understanding Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Amar Hachi Tani. This is what Rav Gamliel was arguing against the Tanakhama. It would seem, says Rav Gamliel, that from your presentation, Tanakhama, the Mazik pays not only the Dmei Yoledes, but also Dmei Shvach of Vlados. That also accrues to the Baal. And this is what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was not able to tolerate. V'chi isha l'mishi oledes mishabachas. In other words, the Shvach of Haguf, because of the fact that she's pregnant, as we said before, according to the Chachamim, and now Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agrees fundamentally to this premise, that the buyer of a shivcha will pay more because, you know, the shivcha looks so, you know, so fat and so healthy. That shvach has nothing to do with the Baal Lechora. Well, at least it's not totally the bailus of the Baal. The Baal has no claim, or shall I say exclusive claim, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, to the shvach of the vlados, meaning the shvach of the isha as a result of the fact that she's got the vlados. And let's again read the language of Rav in interpreting Rav Shimon Gamliel. V'chi isha l'mi sheoledes mishabachas. In other words, is the Torah saying that the Dmei Vlados belongs exclusively to the Baal when she herself should have some sort of a partnership, at least, in some of the devaluation, because the greater value that she had when she was pregnant was a result of the fact that Gufa, that her body, her physical body as an entity, was worth more because of the Vlados. So again, there are two contributing, shall we say, individuals or entities to this, to the shvach of her additional value when she was pregnant. One is, of course, the Vlad, and maybe in that context, of course, the Baal should be zochet to the Dmei Vlados. But in addition, there is the woman herself who is worth more as a result of these vlados. Her guf was enhanced. You know, let's forget about the vlad as a separate entity. Because again, we're now on the turf of the Chachamim, that we view the vlad as part of the Isha. So you could say that the Torah was mezakeh the Baal for Dmei Vlados and his Yorshim in the case that he dies, vis-a-vis the appreciation of her value when she was pregnant because of the vlados, meaning that the buyer would pay more because of the vlados, and that the Torah says in this gzeiros hakos belongs, accrues to the Baal. But v'ein li isha atzma v'shvach vlados klum, aren't you exaggerating here, Chachamim Tanakama, when you exclude the woman from having a zchus at all in her, in her shvach gufa? The shvach gufa is not just the sale of the vlados on the market, which enhances her value as a pregnant woman on the shivcha market, but also the enhancement of her guf. You pay more for her guf. Now again, the reason you pay more for the guf is because of the vlad. The vlad is ultimately what's causing her guf to be expanded, and therefore her value to be appreciated. But nevertheless, that's part of her guf, and she has rights to collect that depreciation. Ellen, therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that shamin es havlados. You evaluate the vlad and its value, v'nosen l'baal, that certainly, clearly, exclusively belongs to the baal. That's the gzeres hakosa that the baal collects the baby vlados. And again, we're talking about, again, I have to reemphasize that Rav is talking about the sheet of Shimon Gamliel's accepting fundamentally the perception of the Chachamim as far as the Vlados is concerned, meaning her depreciation because of the loss of the Vlados, that's acceptable even according to Shimon Gamliel, that belongs exclusively to the Baal, but Ushvach Vlados, but to the extent that her appreciation on the market is begufa, because she has an expanded body, we'll call it nefach. Nefach means, you know, the space, the area space that's bloated now as a result of these vlados, is chalkim, meaning the Baal has only rights to half of that, insofar as that expansion of her body was a result of the vlados, and he's the Baal HaVlados, but half of it should go to the Isha. And why is that? Because that is her guf. She lost something in the value of her guf as a result of the loss of the vlados. And one half of that, one element of that, should accrue to the Isha herself. And again, the nafkamina is going to be whether she could collect it, or after death, whose Yarshim collected. And then that element of the depreciation, according to Shimon Gamliel, will be split amongst the Yarshim of the Isha and the Yarshim of the Baal. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara now quotes a brisa as a support to the sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel, the way we interpreted it. On Rav Shimon Gamliel turns to the Tanakam and he says, V'chi isha l'mi sheyoledes mishabachas v'ein li'atzma b'shvach v'lodos klum. Shall we designate all of the depreciation of the isha as a result of the loss of v'lodos to the Baal? What about the element of Shevach Vlados? She is completely excluded from that. Why is that so? Ella, but rather, Shomin Nezek Bifnei Atzma, Tsar Bifnei Atzma, Vishomin Es Havlados, Vinosin Labal, Veshevach Vlados Cholkim. Clearly, when the Makkah hits this pregnant woman and she loses the Vlados, any Nezek begufa shal isha, he has to pay. Right? She's no longer the healthy person that she was. And that has to be evaluated unto itself, and she will sue for that Nezek. Tsar, any suffering and pain that she experiences, she can sue him for tsar. This was a chavola. And that itself is earmarked towards the isha. When it comes to the vlados, then as far as the Dmei Vlados are concerned, Nosnim Labal. But as far as the Shvach Vlados, the fact that she lost the extra flesh, the extra meat and flesh in her body, as a result of the loss of the Vlados, that's Cholkit. Because there's one element that's generated by the Vlados, and that belongs to the Baal. And there's another element that's the enhancement of the Isha herself. And she lost that. That's also a kind of a Nezik to the Isha. And she gets 50% of the Shvach. Of the Shvach Vlados. So this Braisa clearly would support the approach of Rava to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now the Gemara asks Akasha from a stira between two Braises. Kasha to Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Shimon Gamliel. We have two Braisos that seem to contradict each other. One Braisa would support Rabba, that the Shvach HaVlados accrues exclusively to the Baal, and that's Rav Shimon Gamliel. I'm sorry, correct that. I stand corrected. One Braisa says that the Shvach is totally irrelevant here because she according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, goes down in value, goes up in value as a result of the loss of the Vlados. So therefore, the Shuma here of Tmei Vlados has to be the Vlad itself, independent. And the other Braisa that we just learned supports Rava's understanding of Rav Shimon Gamliel that the Dmei Shvach Vlados, the Shvach that she was enhanced, has to be split between the Baal, the Isha, Lokasha. The Gemara says that's not a problem. Kan bimavakeres, kan be'eno mivakeres. First Braisa that says that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the woman goes up in value. The woman goes up in value as a result of the loss of the Vlados. That's Mevakeres. And why does she go up in value? Because this is the first time she's giving birth, and the buyer will be very afraid of the fact that she has no experience giving birth and she might die as a result of the pain of birth. But the second Braisa, Khan, the Isha Shein of Vakeres, she already has experience giving birth in the past. Her pregnancy and her birth is not so dramatic, not so dangerous for her. And therefore, it's not that she goes up in value as a result of the birth process. And she goes down in value, and that's where Rav Shimon Gamliel comes along with his opinion that we should split the Dmei Shvacha Isha Shemachmas Havlados. So the sugya clarifies, Verabonon, the Amri, the Chachomim, and Am Mishnah, they hold that Shvach Vlados Nami Labal, that the entire sum of Shvach Machmas Havlados accrues to the Baal under the halacha of Dmei Vlados, my taima. And we're going to try to understand the reasoning behind them. And for that, the Gemara quotes Kiddusnan. And according to the Gilyan, it should be Desanya. We have a Braisa that says, Mi Mashma, Shenemar, meaning from the simple, straightforward Pshat in the Pasuk, that it says in the Parish of Dmei, of Tashlum Dmei Vlados, says V'yotzu Yiladeha, and the question is, if it says V'yotzu Yiladeha, obviously she's pregnant. Is Eini Yodea Shehi Hara? Ma Talmud Lomar V'nogfu, it says in the end of the pasuk, Isha Hara. The word Hara is completely superfluous, it's unnecessary. It says V'yotzu Yiladeha Lomar Lecha. This is a chiddush in the pasuk. Shvach heroyon labal, that any increase in her value as a result of the fact that she's pregnant, that accrues to the Baal under the halach of Dmei Vlados. So the Torah was mezakim not only in the Dmei Vlados appreciation of the Isha Hara, but also in the Shvach heroyon, the fact that her body is expanded by the Vlados. And the fascinating thing about this is that it comes out that there is a Gzeres HaKosev here from which we derive the halacha of Shvach Vlados Lebal. It's not some sort of logical, compelling argument. And on the side of logic, we could say that the Sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel has the upper hand. Now the Gemara asks Rav Shimon Gamliel, according to him, that we split the Shvach Machmas Havlados between her and him, between the pregnant woman who lost the Vlad and her husband. Hi Hara, my Dorishbe, what does he do with the Pasuk Hara? The Boile Chsanyi derives a different halacha. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Liolam Eino Chayov, Achi Akenu Keneged Beis HaHiroyon. This is a chiddush of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, also based on Gzeres HaKosuv, that the Hakah, which generates a Chiv Dmei Vlados, has to be Keneged Beis HaYirayon. No other internal parts of members of her body or organs of her body were attacked. Amar Rav Papa, and Rav Papa says, Lo Tema, don't take the words of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov too literally, but what does he mean? Not connected Beis Yiron Mamish Ella Kol Heich the Solik Bay Shichma Levlad. Any organs in her body that are somewhat related to the Vlad. And he's coming lafuki what yad v'regel. So the extremities of the body, like the feet and the hands, that any maka to those part of the bodies has nothing to do and is not going to cause the loss of the fetus. But we're not limited to keneged beis ha-hiroyon, you know, against the womb. There are other parts and internal organs that will cause the loss of the fetus. But Yad v'regel lo, delo, he's not chayev to mev lados. The Mishnah says, Hoysa shivcha v'nishtachara o giyores patur. Let's just think about this. We're talking about a case where her husband dies without yorshim. And in such a case, the makeh doesn't have to pay dmei vlados. Well, what exactly was the scenario? When did the Baal die? Amar Rabba lo shanu elok shechavel ba b'chai hager. He died after this chavola. And what does that mean? They came into chavel ba b'chai hager zocha b'hu ger. V'chevan demes hager zocha b'hu min hager. In other words, it works like this. The Baal was alive at the time of the Hakah. And therefore, immediately following the Hakah, the Torah was mezakeh, the Dmei Vlados, to the Baal. Once he dies, and he has no Yarshim, the Mazik himself is, so to speak, Tofes, the Domim. I mean, obviously the Domim are in his Rishus anyway, he doesn't have to do an active Tefisa, but he is Zoche in the Domim. Says Rabba, but what happened in the what happens in the following scenario? Supposing the ger, meaning the husband, died before the Maisa Chavola. She's already an almana at the time of the Chavola. Aval Chava ba li achar misa sager zachile ihi bigavayu. The Dmei Vlados now accrue to the Isha. In other words, the Dmei Vlados are defined as Nichsei HaBaal in the case where he's alive at the time of the Chavola. But now, he's already gone before the Chavola, and therefore, the Dmei Chavola shift from the Baal over to the Isha. This is the Gevaldige Chiddush of Rabbah, that if the ger, the Baal, dies and she's still pregnant, he leaves a pregnant wife behind, now she becomes the machzik, so to speak. She gets a chazaka on the vlados, and the dmei vlados now belong to her. No one else can come and be kodem and make a chazaka on the dmei vlados. U'mechayev l'shlumi lo l'dida. And therefore the mazik, the makeh, or the chovil, whichever word you want to use to describe, has to pay to make vlados to the woman herself. And this is something that Rav Chisda cannot tolerate. Om Rav Chisda, Mori Dichi, Baal HaShmua, the one who said this, he didn't want to call Rabbi by his name, maybe out of respect. Otu vlados tsrori ninu? Are you viewing these vlados as a cheftza, that as soon as the Baal dies, before the Chavola, this Cheftz is now Hefker, and Zachyabuhu, now the woman has the Vlodos in her body, so she's Zochem in a Hefker? It's clear, says Rav Chisda, that we don't define, and the Torah never had in mind, to define the Vlodos as property, as Nechasim, as a Cheftz Shal Momen. The Torah was Mezakeh, the husband, and only the husband. Well, I should call him actually the father, because technically that's what he is. He's the father of Vlados, to collect Dmei Vlados. Dmei Vlados is a separate parasha, it's a separate Mechayev. It doesn't come under the laws of Nezikin, because if it would, then what rights does he have to collect Dmei Vlados? The Torah was Mezakeh, he has a separate Yad and Schus. And that's what he says, Ella Isay Labal Zochale Rachmana. If the Baal is alive at the time of the Chavola, he was Zoche. And again, if he dies subsequently, then if he has no Yorshim, then the Mazik is Zochin the Beivlodis. But Lesa Labal, if at the time of the Chavol there is no Baal, is low. There's no schus of collecting Dmei Vlados. The Torah wasn't Mechai of the Mazik to pay Dmei Vlados to just anyone who, so to speak, owns the Vlados. It was a separate, unique schus of the Baal, that the Torah was Mezaka the Baal in Dmei Vlados. So the Gemara now asks Akasha on Rabba, Mesve, we have a Brisa that's going to contradict Rabba's assumption that if the Chavola took place after she became an Almana, then she picks up the Dmei Vlados. The Brisa says, Hika es ha'isha. V'yotzu yiladeha, nosein nezek v'tzar la'isha, udmei vlados labal. Ein bal, nosein liyorshav, if the bal is dead, then the dmei vlados are collected by his heirs. Ein ha'isha, no sein, again in this case, nezek and tsar, liyor sheha. So far, pretty clear. But, hoysa shivcha nishtachra ogiyores, in which case, the baal dies and leaves no yorshim, zocha, and the pashtus is that zocha means the mazik, is zocha in the dmei vlados. And this is a contradiction to Rava, because the Brisa here doesn't differentiate and qualify, well, when did the Baal die? Whereas according to Rava, if the Baal died before the Chavol, the woman is Zocha in the Dmei Vlados. And the Brisa presents an absolute rule that the Mazik is Zocha. Amri the Gemara answers, Umi Adifa Mimasnisen. We had the same problem with our Mishnah. You didn't have to ask from the Brisa. Though Kimnon, yet, Rabba interpreted the Mishnah as referring to a case of Shechaval Ba Bechai Hager, that the Ger was alive at the time of the Chavola, and then subsequently Meis Hager. But had it been the other way around, that the Ger had died before the Chavola, then in Hochinami she would be Zocha in the Chavola, in the Dmei Vlados. Is Hochinami, let's use the same Ukimta in terms of this Brisa. Shechaval ba bechai hager umeis hager. That the ger was alive at the time the chavola had. The chavola took him place after she was an almona, her husband had died. Then Elchinami, she would collect the dmei vlados. The Yibayis Ema, the Gemara says, in this brice I can offer another answer, an alternative answer. Li achar misas hager. And here we turn to Daf Memtes Omid Beis, that the Bryce is talking about a case where Enochinami the Chavola took place after the Ger had died. Utni, and instead of writing Zocha in masculine, which is the word we have in our text of the Bryce, it should say Zochsa. And I'm not sure if the Gemara is changing the Girsa here or the Gemara is just reinterpreting the Bryce, but it means that someone else was Zocha if the Chavola took place after the death of the Ger, of the Baal, and the meaning, the intention of the Brisa is that the Isha was Zocha. The Gemara now suggests that the Machlokshin Rabba and Rav Chisda, as to whether or not she, the pregnant woman who lost her Vlados, could collect Dmei Vlados if she has no husband, if he dies, is the Machlokes Tanoim, Lema Kitanoi. We have the following brisa: Bas Yisrael shenises leger v'nis abra mimenu v'chavol bo b'chai hager is no saint may vlados lager, but li'achar misas hager, what if the chavol took place after the death of the husband, the ger, and there are no yorshim? Tony Chada, one brisa says chayev, the mazik has to pay, and the assumption is he's paying to the isha. V'tani chada, but another bris says potter, she has no rights to collect the Dmei Vlados, and therefore the Dmei Vlados now become Hefker, and therefore the Mazik is Zokrim in a Hefker. My love, Tanoi Ninhu, says the Gemara, Li Rabba Vadai Tanoihi. Rabba would certainly understand that this is a machlokas tanoim. Elo l'Rav Chisda, but Rav Chisda has a right to say, Mi lema tanoihi, that really there are no tanoim whatsoever who disagree with Rav Chisda. In other words, everybody agrees, all the tanoim, says Rav Chisda, that the Dmei Vlados are singled out exclusively for the Baal, and she, the Isha, has no rights to the Dmei Vlados. Lokasha, there's one brisa that says that the mazik has to pay. Ha Rabbanon, ha Rab Shimon ben Gamliel. The discussion in this brisa about the situation of Mei Sager and then there was a Chavola is not about the Dmei Vlados, but about Dmei Shvach Isha Machmas Avlados, which was the subject of the Machlokes Shin Rabbanon and Rab Shimon Gamliel. Ha Rabbanon, I mean the brisa that says that the mazik is potter, is reflecting the shita of the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon hold that the Mei Vlados, which is something that the Torah was mezakeh to the Baal, includes within it also Shvach Vlados. But for her, the brisa that says that the mazik has to pay, that brisa reflects the shita of Rab Shimon Gamliel, who holds that if the Chavola was during the Chaye Hager, then with regard to Dmei Shvach Vlados, Cholkim, that the Isha has equal rights to collect the Dmei Shvach Vlados, and therefore, what the brisa is saying here is that even if the Ger died, and she is alive, the Chovel, the Makeh, is not completely exonerated from all payments. He still is Chayev. What is he Chayev? Not Dmei Vlados per se, but he has to pay the Isha, her Chelek, her 50% of Dmei Shvach Vlados. The Gemara asks the following question. E Rab Shim Gamliel, if the Brisa that says that you're Chayev to pay the Isha is reflecting Rab Shim Gamliel as far as Dmei Shvach Vlados, is my ir yuliachar misa afilu michayim, nami isla palga. Forget about the fact that the husband died. That's irrelevant. The brisa would have said that even if the husband's alive, as far as the shvach vlados is concerned, that money accrues to the isha. She gets half of it. And the Gemara answers, mechayim isla palga liachar misa kule. Yes, if the Baal is alive, she will collect, but she'll only collect half of the Shvach, the Dmei Shvach Vlados. The Baal also has rights there, because as we discussed earlier, it's the Vlados that he has rights to that generated this fatness of the Isha and the Shvach. The second brisa wants to tell me that if the Chavola took place and the husband is out of the picture, he already died, Kule, that the entire Dmei Shvach Vlados goes to the Isha, even that Chelik that would have gone to the Baal, she picks up. And the balance of Asugya here on the top of Daf Mem Tesam and Beis is going to try to analyze this halacha that with regard to the Dmei Shvach, she, the Isha, picks up the Baal's Chelik in the Dmei Shvach if he dies. Why is that so? We're not willing to say that, as far, at least according to Rav Chisda, that with regard to the Dmei Vlados, that she picks up the Dmei Vlados if he dies. Why is she able, and why does she have rights to pick up the Shvach Vlados after he dies? And now the Gemara offers, according to Rav Chisda, another way of answering up the brisa. Svi bais ema hava ha Rav Shimon Gamliel. Kan b'shvach vlados, kan b'dmei vlados. The discussion in these two brisos is split into two. What is the subject of each brisa? A different subject. The subject of the brisa that says that the mazik is potter and she doesn't get anything, that's dmei vlados. The subject of the brisa that says that the mazik is chayev, and in this case the isha collects, that's dmei shvach Vlados. And now the Gemara wants to understand what's the distinction here. Why is it that with regard to Tmei Shvach Vlados, she picks up his chelek and not with regard to Tmei Vlados? Amri, the Gemara says, what is Rav Chisda saying over here? Why does he insist that as far as Tmei Vlados is concerned, even after the husband dies, she doesn't have rights? And why not go a step further then? And say, wait a minute, why shouldn't Tmei Vlados reflect the same rules and the same dinim that apply to Shvach Vlados? Mishvach Vlados lishma Tmei Vlados. From the fact that in Shvach Vlados, the chovel has to pay the Isha if the ger died, she is Zocha and his chelik in Shvach Vlados. Why don't we derive the same conclusion, apply the same logic to Tmei Vlados, that if he was chovel ba, and even if the ger was alive, you're telling me, okay, if the ger was alive, she has no zchus in them. That's wonderful, because then the zchus is that of the baal. But let's say he was chovel after the baal had died. Why not say that the same logic that dictates that she's zochen in the Dmei Shvach Vlados, the second half of the Dmei Shvach, that which belongs to the Baal, so too, Rav Shimon Gamliel should agree that she's zochen in the Dmei Vlados after the Baal dies. And Mida Rav Shimon Gamliel Lishmal Rabbanon. Again, even though we're cross-breeding over here, because we're talking about Rav Shimon Gamliel in the case of Shvach Vlados, and we're talking about the Rabbanon in the case of Tmei Vlados, but the logic is very powerful, very compelling. This, to the same extent that we say within the context of Rav Shimon Gamliel Shita, that she's Zocha Le'achar Mises HaBaal in whatever the Baal was Zochen, meaning half of the Shvach Vlados, so too, in the Shita the Chachamim, with regard to Tmei Vlados, we should assume that she could be Zochen the entire Tmei Vlados after the Mises HaBaal. And the Gemara answers, Amri, lo, there's no comparison between the two. In the case of Shvach Vlados, after all, she has half. The Shaychi Yodah Begaveh. And really what the Gemara is saying is that the fact that the Baal is there, he's sort of mafkia, it's a barrier, preventing her from being Zocha in Shvach Vlados. He has a taito or a tvia here on the Shvach Vlados, because, as we said over and over again, the Shvach Vlados is a result of the Vlados, and to the same extent the Torah gave him rights in Tmei Vlados, the Torah gives him rights in Shvach Vlados. But if he's out of the picture, it means that he died. Now there's nothing holding her back. You know, if you pull the arrow, it let go and it'll fly. Is Yachibuku, and now she can expand her zchus in the Shvach Vlados to 100% instead of limiting it to 50%. She takes over his chelek, his zchus in the Shvach Vlados. But when we talk about Dmei Vlados, that was a separate chiyuv and a separate zchus, a chiyuv on the mazik and the zchus on the baal. Dolo shaycha yodo begavayu. She has no shaycha. She has no yad and no rights to collect Dmei Vlados. Lo zachyeh b'hu klal, and therefore she cannot pick up the Dvei Vlados after the Misas HaBaal. And I was thinking that even if she were to inherit HaBaal, if there was such a din, it wouldn't be relevant here, because he only has this abstract schus that the Torah gave him. He doesn't really own the heftza, you know, the goof momen of the Dmei Vlados. It's a separate schus that he comes along. That's a mitzvah sheva gufo. He can't, it's non-transferable. It's like you buy a ticket to the bus and it says on a non-transfer, you can't give it to anybody else. But in the case of Shvach Vlados, where the Shvach Vlados is something that she personally experiences, it's just that she has to give him his dibs, his rights. If he's out of the picture, he died, then she could collect it. Boy minei Rav Yeva Sava Mirav Nachman. If you remember, it was clear from the Mishnah that the mazik could be zocha in the Dmei Vlados of the ger shemes, because if the ger dies without a yorshim and there's no one to inherit the zchus of the ger, of the baal ha'isha in Dmei Vlados, it becomes hefker, and therefore the mazik is zocha. And along this line of reasoning, or shall we say in an expanded, similar analogous case with regard to the Nichse Ager, Liachar Misu, which are Hefker, Hamachzik Bishtarosov Shelger Mahu. Imagine that the Ger extended a loan to someone, the loaf, of course, gave him a shtar, and that shtar milva in the hands of the Ger gives the Ger rights to collect from Shibudim. He can collect from the karka of the loaf. Now the Ger dies, and someone, after the death of the Ger, picks up the shtar. He makes a chazok on the shtar mahu. Man de ma. So now, before we go into the Gemara's analysis, I just want to point out here that when it says that we vacillate back and forth about the person who made a chazaka on the shtaros, then first of all, we have to ask ourselves, when exactly did this person make the chazaka on the shtaros? I assumed that it was after the death of the ger. However, the Shach quotes Rishonim to the effect that the Ger was Mafkid the Shtar before he died in the hands of Yisrael, and he's the Machzik. And we'll have to see the significance of this interpretation of the Shach. But what I do want to point out is that the Shita Mekubetzes says the following. He writes, Kevan Shemes HaGer Poka HaShibud Shehoyeba. The Lova borrowed money and is Meshubit to pay the Ger. He was the Malva, the Ger. There's no one else who could collect that Shibud, no matter who's holding on to the Shtar. In fact, the death of the Ger is Mafkia, that Shibud. That's what it says in the Shita Mekubetzes. But here's a Chiddush. In the Masifta, he quotes in the footnote the Imre Tzvi. I'm not familiar with this Sefer, but he writes that from the Lashon HaGemara, he's Medaik. The Gemara doesn't add the words Meis HaGer. Why did the Gemara leave that out? And he wants to suggest that the Chazaka was before the Mises HaGer, which sounds like the Shach that we said before, that during the lifetime of the Malva the Ger, the Shtar ended up in the Chazaka of some Shomer, so to speak. So he already made a Chazaka during the life of the Ger. Okay, fine, that's the Shach. But he adds the following. He says, "Lakach im hoya machzik bekarka kode misa sager hoya zoche bekarka." There's a possibility here that the one who's holding on the shtar during the lifetime of the malfe could actually make a kinyan chazaka on the karka that's mishubedes, the karka that's now in the rishus of the lova. But he adds, "Be ofen shaloya nifka shibudo shalger." As long as that chazok was made on the karka when the shibud of the ger was alive and well. Now, frankly speaking, this is way beyond the purview of our shiurim, but this would indicate that the shach's interpretation of our Gemara has far-reaching ramifications, that there may be even a feasibility here that when the Gemara vacillates about the status of the machzik b'shtar, it might even have implications as far as the guf ha-shibud and the karka, the ability of this machzik to collect those shibudim. And frankly, we don't know how that works. So we'll just accept it right now on face value in the name of the Imre HaTzvi, and we have to analyze it in a very careful laboratory experiment under a microscope. What is the Gemara asking? The Gemara vacillates the following. Man de machzik b'shtar. Let's go back to the Malva himself, the Ger himself during his lifetime. He was holding on to the shtar. What did he have in the shtar? Adaita the arahu de machzik. He's only holding on to the shtar as a schus gvia, giving him rights to use the shtar to collect shibudim. But he has no rights in the gufa shtar. In fact, once he collects the chov, or if the lova pays him, he gives the shtar back to the lova. Ubiara holo achzik. He has no chazaka on the karka of the lova. Ushtara nami lokana. The niar ashtar, the paper of the shtar, the parchment of the shtar, he didn't make a kinyan on. Dilavadaiti ashtara. He doesn't have das to make a kinyan on the shtar. As we said before, he's interested in using the shtar for his purposes as a raya for gviya. but he doesn't own the Gufo Shel Shtar, the Nira Shtar. And if that be the case, then the Machzik here has no rights to the Shtar. O Dilmo, should we say, Daita Nami Ashtara? Even though, again, as we said before, he's going to return the Shtar ultimately to the Love, but that's a brand new Kenyan, a transaction unto itself, but the Das, when he got the Shtar from the Love, was to make a Kenyan on the Shtar. He has Kenyanim in the Gufo Shel Shtar. Amale, so Rav Nachman, when he heard this question, he responded, and he said, Ane Mori, which means Aneni Adoni, please respond to me. You know, it's, how can you have two tzedadim in this suffik? V'chi lotzer al pitz lichuso hu tzorech? What does this machzik need the shtar for? Or for that matter, why does the ger himself need the shtar? Why would the ger go ahead and make a kinyan on the gufo shel shtar? He's only interested in the gvia power of the shtar, the raya of the shtar. Amarlo, he says, yeah, lotzer. Vilatzur, the shtar itself has a market value to it. It's written on parchment, and he could use that parchment to as a bottle cap for his bottle. And therefore, we want to know, and it's relevant l'aloch l'maisa, whether the ger had a chazok, a kinyan on the gufo shel shtar, the nira shtar, and therefore the machzik after the death of the ger is kone the gufo, the nira shel shtar. And finally, Omar Rabba, Mashkono Shel Yisrael, Biyad Ger. What happens if a person borrows money from a Ger and the Love leaves a Mashkon in the hands of the Ger? So again, the Love has rights to recollect this Mashkon when he pays up the Chov. Umeis HaGer. The ger dies, he has no yorshim, all of his possessions are hefker. Bo Yisrael acher, v'hichzik bo. Now a Yisrael makes a chazaka on this mashkan. And the Gemara says the following. There's no doubt that motziyano so miyado. The mashkan has to revert back to its original owner, to the lover. This person has no rights to the mashkan. The mashkan is only there to guarantee the loan. My timer came to Misle Ger, Pukale Shibuda. Ger has rights to the Mashkon as long as he is alive, but once he dies, he no longer has a Shibud. And his rights, the Ger's rights to this Mashkon, is only a concrete expression of his shibud. If the shibud is gone, then his rights to the mashkan are gone. That's exactly what happens when the lover pays up. He's mafkir the shibud, he gets back the mashkan. Therefore, the Yisrael has no right to collect this mashkan. It belongs to the lover. He's a gazlan if he takes the mashkan. But now the Gemara wants to know, what happens in the flip case? Mashkonu shel ger biyad Yisrael. Supposing in this case it wasn't the lover who gave a mashkan to the ger, but the opposite was true. The ger borrowed money from Yisrael, and he gives a mashkan over to the Yisrael. Umeis hager. Now the ger dies, he no longer has rights or possession over the mashkan, there are no yorshim. Now Yisrael picks up the mashkin of the ger. Again, the mashkin of the ger is biyad Yisrael. Now, l'chora, we would say that if it's called a kodem zocha, the first part to make a chazok is the one who acquires ownership on the nichzei ger, then l'chora, this mashkin was in the rishus of the malve. How does somebody else have the right to take it? So the Gemara says, Zekona keneged ma'osav, v'zekona es ashar. If the mashkon is worth more than the chov, then clearly, up until, but not beyond the value of the chov, that belongs to the malve. And no one could grab that away from him. However, supposing there's an increment, and the mashkon is worth more than the chov itself, that already is the value of the mashkin that belongs to the ger. If the ger died, the machzik could be kona. So the Gemara says, Vamai, but wait a minute. If there's a din in that increment of Kol HaKodim Zocha with the death of the Ger, the Ger's Nechosim HaHefker, then Lechora, the Malva himself was Machzik on the Mashkon. The Mashkon is sitting in his Chatzer. Tikli Lechatzero. The Omer of Yossi Berab Chanina Chatzer Shalom Konolo Shalomi Daito. In other words, even if, let's assume, in the worst case scenario, from the perspective of the Malv, he had no knowledge of the fact that the Ger had died. It doesn't matter. That's the point of Rabbi Yossi, that the Chatzer of a person is Kona on behalf of the Bala Chatzer, even Shalom Daito. So the first one to grab, hold, and make a Kinyan on this Mashkon was the Malv himself. Why then does the Machzik have a right to get above and beyond the value of the Chov in this Mashkon? Hachamayaskinon, the Leisei. The Gemara now assumes that yes, there is a din of Chatzeru Shalodim Konol Shalmidaito, but that's only if the person who owns that Chatzer is around. You know, he's Matzu, he's in the city. And if he's in the city, it's called Hecha de Isa Lididei. Then we assume that he could be Zocha through his Chatzer in the Mashkan. However, Dibay Mikne Motzi Kani, since the Malv, if he's in the city, he himself can make the Kinyan, is Kani Leinami Chatzero. His Chatzer is like his Shliach. And the self-appointed or automatically appointed Chatzer can now be Zocha on behalf of the Bala Chatzah, because the Bala Chatzah could also make the Kinyan, he's here in the city. But if he's out of the city called Hecha, the Leise Lididei, the Malv himself is not around. And therefore, the boy who le Mikne lo Motzi Kani, he himself couldn't make the Kinyan, is Chatzero Nami lo Kanya. The Chatzah itself cannot work as his Shliach to be Kona. A Shliach can only go as far as the Mishalech. He doesn't have powers to exceed beyond those of the Mishalech. The Hilchasa, the Gemara finally concludes with regard to the Machzik, whether he's Kona, that which is that value of the Mashkan that's beyond the Chov, is the Leise Bechatzero Delo Kona. So the Gemara paskins halach that the only time in which the Machzik, I'm not talking about the Malfa, the Machzik can acquire ownership on the increment above in the Mashkin, above and beyond the value of the Chov, is only the Leise. And Rashi interprets the Leise means that the Mashkon is not to be found in the Chatzer, Bechatzero. It's not in the Chatzer of the Malfa. And then the Lokona. Therefore, the Kinyan Chatzer would not operate on the Mashkon. But if the Mashkon was in the Chatzer of the Malv at the time of the Misa Sager, then the Malv is Kona the entire Mashkon through his Chatzer, because Chatzer Shalom Kona Lo Afilu Shalom Midaita. The way Tosus understands Rashi, Tosus the Ramask of Hilchasa, is that even if the Malv is not around, he's not what we call Omed Bitzad Sadeh, nevertheless, the Chatzer, if it's a chatzer mishtameres, it's a house and it's protected, that chatzer could be kona for him in any event. The only time the machzik could have rights to collect this mashkon in the value that exceeds beyond the chov, that's only if the mashkon is not in the chatzer of the malveh. Okay, and a mitzvah.